Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to start reading. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Father, we come before you, Lord. I ask you to help us, to guide in this, give us understanding. Help me to teach clearly and that this would make sense, Lord God. And I just pray that you would just guide and lead in this. And Lord, I pray that through this you would help our church, strengthen us, unify us. Please, God, we need you. And just thank you that we have the word of God and that you are our teacher. Please, we ask you to teach us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at this, and what we are going with now is the false assumptions or the fundamental errors in doctrine that can start you off with a false premise and lead to more doctrinal errors. So we're looking at some of those fundamental errors in doctrine that start one off in error and are only going to produce more error. So I'm going through this, and then once I'm done going through this stuff and we look at it, then what I'm going to do is we're going to go back into the passage and we're just going to look at everything within this passage, chapter 5, verse 12 through chapter 6, verse 2 probably. There's some other things I can hit on, and I may do it as we go. Again, a lot of it's going to be repeat, and that's on purpose. I want us to get it over and over and over and over again. I want us to hear it. I want us to understand it. I want there to be complete light. I don't want anything to be left in the dark. I want it all manifest. I want everything out there where we stand and what we believe and what the scriptures are saying. And we'll look at it in other places and what it's saying and the false doctrine that's being taught. Okay, we're going to look at that as well. And I'll pull that out as I've been doing and we'll compare it side by side. But first, I wanted to address these fundamental errors in doctrine. And a lot of what I dealt with already this morning in looking at things on the kingdom and understanding, if you just get off on just a bit, you're going to mess everything else up. Nothing else is going to make sense. And there's things I've looked at that the source of where this false doctrine came from. I've looked at other teachings that this man has on it, and I knew where he stood. I wanted to verify because I already understood where he was coming from. I just wanted to verify. So I've looked at other places in Hebrews where he taught, and all it is he has his false premise, and because this is what the truth is, because that's what the truth is, then this passage over here has to be this. That's what this passage has to teach. And I may take us to that just to give you an example of his false belief leads to more doctrinal error, and I may give us another example of it in another place in Hebrews. Okay, I might do that sometime throughout this. I might not, but it's there. I verified it. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I don't want you going to him. I don't. Mark and avoid. Those of you that know who it is, avoid him. Amen. Okay, you know who he is already. I'm marking him as a heretic. Amen. Okay, avoid him. You know who he is. You know who the teaching is. And it's not anyone any of us know personally, okay? So everyone can calm down. All right, it's nobody we know personally. All right, but if those that are espousing this, then we need to mark and avoid them as well. Okay, I have to say that also. But I'm saying the person where the source of this teaching came from is no one any of us know personally. But likely all of us have heard the person's name. Okay, we've all heard the person's name. So what I'm saying is he's a heretic and we need to mark and avoid him. And I don't want you going to him to learn more. So you need to mark and avoid him. Okay? I just wanted to verify that what he was teaching in this area, based on what he was saying in this passage that we're looking at in chapter 5, verses 12 through chapter 6, verse 2, based on what he was teaching here, I knew what he would believe in this other passage, and I wanted to verify it. And exactly what I thought is exactly what he taught. And I may get into that, I may not. But if I do, I'll give you exactly what he believes, what he's saying. Okay? So we're looking at these fundamental errors in doctrine. So he believes, or those that follow him believe that the, and again, let me preface this. I say they, it doesn't mean everybody that believes parts of this, it doesn't mean they all believe exactly the same exact thing. Okay, I'm using that as a generality. Most of them that follow this are going to believe these truths. Okay, the conundrum is when they have some right doctrine and some wrong doctrine, but they still hold to the wrong. That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't get. I'm like, how can you, when you understand his false premise he started with and how he came to this conclusion, how can you still hold to it when you say, well, all of that's wrong that the man teaches. All of that's wrong. Well, he used all of that to teach this.
Right.
So how can you ignore that? How can you use all of the error he used to build this doctrine that you're now following? How can you do that? That doesn't make sense. So again, just because I say they, it doesn't mean that everyone necessarily accepts all of this as the same. But for the most part, they almost have to accept most of what he's saying as truth in order to follow this doctrine, or there's just a confusion, but a contradiction in their beliefs, because he came to it because of his false beliefs. All right, so they believe that the babe mentioned in chapter 5, verse 13 is a lost Jew, rejecting what the Bible teaches about. So they believe it's a lost Jew, and they reject what the Bible teaches about a babe and their need of milk. All right, so chapter 5, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now this man, the source, he's teaching that that babe is speaking of a lost Jew. Why? Because this has to be, you know, it's speaking to lost Jews, so that babe has to be a lost Jew. Now, when I think of babe in the Bible, for me personally, well, I just want you all to think of, when you think of a babe in the Bible, what's the first thing you think of? You don't even have to answer, just think in your head. What's the first thing you think of? A babe in the Bible. Okay, I'll tell you what I think now. I just wanted you to think about it. In the context of what we're looking at here, this, what do you think of when it says babe? Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What do you think of in the context of that? Of course, we could say a baby, all right, but that's not what it's talking about. We gather that from the context. So what do you think it is? Here, when I read babe, especially in this context with the words that are being used, and we'll get to all that, I don't think a lost Jew. Okay, I just don't. I instantly think a baby Christian. There's a reason for that. Now, that's likely what you thought, maybe not. I don't know, maybe not. But that is what it has to be based on what they think the doctrine of Christ is. That is what it has to be. It absolutely has to be a lost Jew. Okay? He says, there become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So they believe it's a baby and they reject what the Bible teaches about a babe and their need of milk. So they force that belief because of the false premise they started with, that this is speaking to Jews that need to leave the Levitical system and get saved. Because they already came to it saying, that's what this is, and it's saved and lost. So these are lost Jews. So because they have that premise, this babe has to be a lost Jew. That's how the conclusion has come to. It has to be, but they ignore what is being said here. And we're just going to look at this, okay? And we may get into more detail in this and pull some other verses of some of the things that they defend. I'm just kind of going at the false error right now and looking at the context of what is being said right here. And then we're going to compare it with some other places, okay? So he says there in verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. By the way, that being a teacher is the same thing that Jesus was. And we can get into that, okay? It's the same thing used to describe Jesus. God expects us as his disciples to be a master teacher just like he was. And it's in line with the pattern he laid out for us in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teach others. Okay, we're to be teachers. For when for the time you ought to be teachers as Jesus was, okay, that's Melchizedek. All right, man, there's so much to just get into here. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And here's what it says, and are become such as have need of milk. So you that should be teachers, you're not. You need the one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you are become such as have need of milk. So these people that should be teachers, they need milk. and not of strong meat, because they can't handle, they can't quite digest it yet. They're not strong enough to be able to handle it. Okay, so they need milk for everyone that useth milk. So once you use milk, you begin to develop an ability to start digesting stronger foods, is what it's saying. This is the picture it's painting for us. I mean, you give a baby milk, okay? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he's a babe. So we have these two verses, and it's speaking about a babe and milk. A babe and milk. Now, when we look at that, the other places that is mentioned in the Bible, there's only two other places that a babe and milk in this connotation, in this context, is really dealt with. In the New Testament, rather. There's one other place in the Old Testament. We're not going to go there now. We may later. But with the babe and milk, and I think it's only these two places that deal with the babe and milk. I'll have to refresh my memory on that. But let's go to them. Let's go ahead and look at what the Bible says about a babe and their need for milk. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. Now, I don't want us to think that I'm trying to deceive anybody. There are some verses that they use. I'm not going to get into those now. I will get into those that they use to uphold their doctrine that it's a lost Jew. I'm going to get into those when we go back through the passage. Now I'm just dealing with the fundamental errors in doctrine, and you're going to hear me say all this stuff again, but I just want us to look at it. Because what they're doing is they're rejecting the word usage. And they're not making the connection because it's babe and milk. All right, that's what we're looking at here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." There it is, babes. Okay, same word, babes in Christ. Now look at this, look what's next. "I have fed you with what? Milk. And not with what? Meat." Isn't that the same thing they said in Hebrews? Amen. I can't feed you with meat? You're not able to bear it? Okay, same thing here. "For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Well, these certainly aren't lost Jews, huh? Are these lost Jews? Somebody help me. Pagan church members. City of Corinth. I mean, the term Corinthianized was meant for just all sorts of debauchery. That's how they used it in that day. Like we use the term Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I mean, everyone knows that's just debauchery. That's how that word is used for the city of Corinth. Was a wicked place. It was a trade route, main trade route. And sailors and everything went in there and people were going through. And it was just a wicked place where wicked things happened. This wasn't Jews. It certainly wasn't lost Jews. But what does he say? "I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual." I couldn't feed you what I wanted. "But as unto carnal." You're all carnal. You're saved and you're baptized. Your church members. "But I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." You're just a baby in Christ. You're in Christ, church member, but you're just a babe and a carnal. And babies are carnal. It's all about them. Period. I don't care whose baby it is. It's all about them. Don't feed them. See what they do. Don't feed them. Okay, don't change their diaper. See what they do. They're going to be screaming mad. They're going to be yelling at you and getting mad. I mean, this is what babies do. As they get older, how many of you have ever tried to change a baby and they don't want to be changed? Right. And what do? Everything. They'll be kicking. They'll be arching their back. Ah! I mean, they're trying to get away from you and they're doing all this stuff because that's what a baby does. They're carnal. I don't want this, so I'm not going to do it. That's what a baby is. Okay, so he says, "I couldn't feed you as spiritual, you're carnal, even as babes in Christ." He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, because you weren't able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal." And then he goes into, there's envy, strife, division, you're carnal, and you walk as men. Division, envy, strife is a sign of carnality, not spirituality. I'm not saying it always is, but most of the time, it's a sign of carnality, not spirituality. Okay? But again, getting back to the topic at hand, we see a babe and milk. And it's not speaking to lost Jews that need to leave the Levitical sacrificial system. Right. It's speaking to saved, baptized church members, just like we saw Hebrews is talking to, right? Amen. How many times have we gone through Hebrews and pointed all that out? I mean, because Brother Brad went through it. I've gone through it and pointed things out. And I mean, that's who it's talking to. It's talking to saved, baptized church members in the book of Hebrews. We can come to 1 Corinthians. It's talking to saved, baptized church members. They're in Christ. And what is it telling them? They're not lost Jews, but it's telling them you're babes and you need milk because you can't handle the spiritual meat. You're not able to bear it yet. You got to get beyond that. You have to understand these things. This is what he's saying. I want you to understand these things so we can move on. He's saying the same thing right here. The same exact thing is being said. That's being said in Hebrews chapter 5 to chapter 6. The same thing. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, so you ought to be like Jesus, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. See, that's maturity. You're growing. Okay, isn't that what he was saying in Corinth? You need to grow so you can handle strong meat, but you're carnal, you're not spiritual. Okay, I want you to grow. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I'll just save it. But okay, we see that. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, here it is, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So, who's he talking to here? He tells them, you're as newborn babes. They desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. Do you see how when we look at all of these, it's talking about growth? Amen. Growing beyond. This isn't now, 1 Peter 2 isn't talking to lost Jews either. Amen. Who's it talking to? Church members. So that's saved, but not just saved, they're baptized. They're saved and baptized, which makes them church members. Okay, because it goes on to say, it says, verse 4, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, that's Jesus Christ. Okay, ye also, those he's talking to, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are lively stones. We're part of that spiritual house. We're part of that building, the house of God, the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. He's the chief cornerstone. We're built off of that. He's talking to a church. And what does he tell these saved, baptized people? That they're newborn babes. They should desire the milk of the word so they can grow. So in the context of this, when you look at milk and babe, it's always talking to a saved, baptized person. Amen. That's what we see. Now, because I have a preconceived idea, in Hebrews it can't mean that. I'm not receiving what the Word of God says. I'm interpreting what the Word of God says. I'm giving it my own definition. That's what they're doing, okay? Error only begets more error. You can't start with error and end up at truth. You cannot do that. It's important we understand that. This next one is huge, okay? Let's go back to Hebrews. This one's huge. This is the... With this, they can never come to their conclusion. Never. They will never, ever, ever come to their conclusion that this is speaking, that these six principles mentioned in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that these six principles are speaking about the Old Testament Levitical sacrificial system. They'll never come to that conclusion apart from correcting the Bible. Never. You can never do it. If you don't believe you have a perfect word of God, it's easy to do. Because then you can make the Bible say what you want. And this is huge right here. Now, some people will downplay this if they don't believe they have the perfect word of God. And that's fine. Then do what you want. Believe what you want. But I believe I have the perfect word of God.
Amen.
In English. I'm not talking about the Greek.
Amen.
I'm talking about in English, I have the perfect word of God. I have the very words of God. Every single one of them that God wanted me to have. So I don't need the Greek to change it, to correct it, so that I can have the proper understanding. I have it in English. Now, I do want to say, it doesn't mean I can't go to the Hebrew or to the Greek and learn a definition and see how that word is used to help me better understand and define it. But I don't need to change the words. They don't need to mean something else. If I don't have the Greek or the Hebrew, I don't need them for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Okay, if all I have is the English, that's all I want, actually. I don't want the Hebrew or the Greek. All I need are the English words. And like I said, it's important everyone grasp this, get this. That this false doctrine that's being taught will never be arrived at if you simply believe the words of your King James Bible are perfect.
Amen.
You'll never, ever get there. You cannot. You cannot, and I'm going to explain why. But it's very important you understand this, that if what the Word says right here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 are perfect, then you'll never come to the conclusion, the false doctrine that's been sown in this church and that this false teacher came to. Okay, you'll never get there. Never. Never. Now, they don't believe the perfect Word of God exists and therefore must correct the King James Bible in order to come to their strained interpretation that the doctrine of Christ is speaking of the Levitical priesthood and the sacrificial system. They claim that the doctrine of baptisms in chapter 6, verse 2 is a reference to the ritualistic washings the Jews observed in the Old Testament. I'm going to read that again. They claim that the doctrine of baptisms in chapter 6, verse 2 is a reference to the ritualistic washings that Jews observed in the Old Testament. So let's read chapter 6, verse 2 and see what it says. We'll read chapter 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now here it is, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So it says of the doctrine of what? Baptisms. Baptisms. That's the word that is used. Okay? So, here's what they go to. And this is just a few examples. There's more that could be pulled up. But let's go ahead and turn to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Everybody still with me? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Exodus chapter 29. Verse 1. It says, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. And this is Moses. This is what he's going to do to Aaron and his sons. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. That's it right there. Shall wash them with water. Let's go to chapter 30, verse 18. So he washed them with water. That's what it's talking about. Okay, that's what they say. Hebrews 6:2 is talking about. Chapter 30, verse 18, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. That sounds like baptism, doesn't it? Okay, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. Let's go to one more place, Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 6. Now, was the word baptism used there? Anybody? Did you see the word baptism there? No. Let me give you this little factoid, okay? You can look it up. There's not one place in the Old Testament the word baptism, baptized, baptized, ever shows up in the Old Testament.
Right.
There's not one place ever. You'll never find it there. Ever. Ever. Okay? So, you'll never find it in English there. Not once, ever, okay?
Amen.
All right, now Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Okay, that's it. There's other examples, but that's what they use to say. This is what Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2 is talking about of the doctrine of baptisms. See, we're to leave all that. That's a Levitical priesthood, Levitical sacrificial system. We're to leave all that, those washings. Hey, that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, I can see that sounds, there's something to it, right? They're baptized. Hey, how do you baptize? What's back there? Water. You baptize with water, see? That makes sense. We're to leave that. We're not supposed to stay with that. That's why Christ came. We don't stay with that. We leave all that behind. We leave the doctrine of Christ to go to Christ. Oh, wait. That's insanity to me. Just that statement alone is insanity. But you see, what happened is it never said baptism. Never. Never. It said washings. So in order to swallow this and to accept it, you have to correct your Bible.
Amen.
And that's fine if someone wants to do that. And the guy this comes from uses multiple versions.
Yep.
I know his favorite version. Okay? He's fine with that. He has no problem. He does it all the time. I found it in other places where he does it. In Hebrews. He has no problem correcting the Bible. None whatsoever. But in order to swallow this, you have to accept the changing of that. The correcting of that. The only way they're going to make this connection is by going to the Greek or using modern Bible versions. I've got a few of them here. I've had them here for a few weeks because I didn't know how long it was going to take me to get to this. I've got The Way. This is a hippie Bible. You can come look at them. Not all of them are going to say the same thing. I've got the New American Standard Bible, the New World Translation, and then this is a parallel New Testament. Let me see what it has in it. It's got the King James, the Amplified, the Living New Testament, and the Revised Standard Version. And I've got an NIV back there as well. I don't use these to study. I use them. I don't care that just fell on the floor either. But I use them for this right here, what I'm doing right now. So you can come look and you can say, Pastor's lying. Nope, you come verify it yourself. You can come look it up yourself. And I'll tell you which ones say what, because that's what we're going to do right now. And oh, let me just see. Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll do this real quick. All right, bear with me, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep us a little bit long today. All right, so here's what the NIV says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. All right, the Bible says this of the doctrine of baptisms. Here's what Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read both in all these different versions, okay? It says this, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Now here it is, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. See, cleansing rites, there it is. That's what they did in the Old Testament. That's how they come to this conclusion, by correcting the Bible.
Amen.
You got to be a Bible corrector to come to that conclusion. To me, immediately, right there, this is garbage, I'm throwing it out. That's all I need right there. When we have to correct the Bible to believe a doctrine, that's garbage to me.
Amen.
I'll never accept that, never. If I have to correct the Word of God in order to accept a doctrine, I will never accept it.
That's right. Amen.
Period. That's me. I don't know where you stand. That's where I stand. You can do what you want. You can say, I think it's cleansing rites. Well, go ahead. I'm okay with that. Because I'm a Baptist and I believe in soul liberty.
Amen.
Amen. That means I believe you can believe whatever you want because I'm not going to answer to God for you. I'll give an account for what I teach you as the pastor because I have to give an account for that. But I won't answer to God for what you believe. Amen. I'm not going to answer to God for what you believe. You will. And since only you can answer for what you believe, God has given you soul liberty. You believe what you want. But I'll tell you right now, I'll never accept a doctrine if I've got to correct my King James Bible in order to believe it. I will never accept it. And for me right there, when I came to this, when this whole thing got brought to my attention, and I saw what was done and how they came to it, there's a bunch of reasons. I've given a bunch of reasons why this is false. In my mind, at least, I've already done refuted this whole thing and it's garbage before I got to this right here. And there's more. I'll get into more. But in my mind, I don't know how you all feel, but in my mind, I've already destroyed this whole argument. But you might not feel that way. That's okay. You don't have to. I don't know how you feel. But when I came to this, when I saw this, immediately, I knew without a doubt it's garbage. If I've got to correct my Bible to believe it, it's trash. Period. That's where I stand personally. I can't answer that for you. That's what the NIV says, okay? The ESV. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands. What happened here? Sorry, my pages got mixed up. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Here's the RSV. Okay? Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on unto maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God with instruction about ablution. See, we got to change it all so we don't infringe on copyrights because it's all about money. So we have to change it enough that it's not a copyright infringement and we're plagiarizing. Okay? With instruction about ablutions, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Because everybody knows what ablutions means, right? No. Here's the definition. Ablution, the act of washing or cleansing, specifically the washing of the body or some part of it as a religious rite, like the feet and hands. Okay? All right. The NASB, New American Standard Bible. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The Amplified Bible. All right, this will take me a while to read. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. The Amplified Bible, like, way adds all kinds of words. Here we go. Therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about the Christ, advancing on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness, doing this without laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of teaching about washings, ritual purifications, they have in parentheses, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And then it has this in brackets. These are all important matters in which you should have been proficient long ago. So it said, the teaching about washings, ritual purifications. Why? That takes it right back to the Old Testament. Because they come to this with their preconceived idea, that's what it's talking about. So they put these footnotes in that takes you back to that. Because they don't believe the Word of God as given. Amen. That's why, period. That's the reason why. The New English Translation. Therefore, we must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity, not laying again this foundation. Not laying this foundation again, repentance from dead works and faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, all of these examples were taken from BibleGateway.com. If you want to look, I've got some of the Bibles here you can look at. So this is what they have to do in order to swallow this doctrine. It can't say baptisms, because what is a baptism? The only place we find that word is in the New Testament. That's it. That's it. And it's never dealing with the ritual cleansing.
That's right.
The Levitical rites. The only way you come to that is if you correct what the Word of God says. Yep. That's the only way you'll ever get there. Never can you get there any other way. If you just believe and receive what it says, that it's the doctrine of baptisms, and I've dealt with the plurality of that. Okay, if not, go back and listen to the series I preached in, you know, the spring of 2016. It's on our website, and I dealt with the plurality of the baptisms. I've talked about it before, too, the multiple baptisms that are mentioned. But it's not washings. See, without that right there, you cannot come to this conclusion. It's baptism. So what is that then? That's New Testament. It's not Old Testament. Amen. To me, when I come to something like that, this is how I look at doctrines as they're brought to me. I'm like, okay, it could be true. Let me look at it. Let me see what it says. And when I come to something like this, I'm like, oh, nope, that's garbage. And it goes right in the garbage. Amen. Because that's what it is. There's no way around it, period. Now, if someone is offended by that, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't, because I just receive what the Word of God says. It says baptisms, then it means baptisms. Period. That's it. And if you say, well, you know, it could be washings. When we go to the Greek, it can mean this. I'm like, then you don't believe you have a perfect Word of God. Fine. Then now you're the authority. Because when you start changing the words of God, you now become the authority. Well, it should be this. So now you're the authority. Okay, we go to you. We bow down to you now. And no one says, well, you come bow down to me. I'll tell you what it really means. But that's what you're doing when you correct the Word of God. God didn't know what He was talking about, giving us baptisms. Plus, it's just a translation. Everyone knows a translation can't be inspired. Unless it's the New Testament quoting the Old Testament. Then you have an inspired translation. Oh, what? See, if we just believe what it says, we're fine.
Amen.
But if we are willing to correct the Word of God in one place, why not somewhere else? You understand what I'm saying? This to me right here is the death knell. It killed this doctrine, this false doctrine. It killed it. It's done. Yep. It's done. But there's more, and we'll get into that, okay? Father, we love you.